There was a boy, there was an ordinary boy. And there's one thing that entered his life, one single thing. It's not a small thing, it's a big thing. And it changed his life entirely. He went from just being ordinary to being super successful, rich, in charge. And it's just this one thing that was added, one thing. Not a lot of things. And you know, this thing that he got is freely available to you and I. It's not something that is exclusive. It's not something that you and I can't have the exact same thing. It's just one thing. It's one thing. Can you guess what the one thing is that he added in his life? No, it was not a Tony Robbins seminar. The one thing, that one thing was wisdom. Wisdom. Let's talk about wisdom today. Because wisdom is one thing, if you add to your life, can change every single piece of what you touch and what you do, can be altered significantly better with adding one thing in your life. And that thing is called wisdom. You know, in the Bible, there's different words that are used when we look at wisdom, when we talk about learning. When you look at the book of Proverbs, there's always three words that are used in there. There's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And a lot of times they're used not interchangeably, but around each other. They are used in the same sentence or the same proverb. And a lot of times they'll say by knowledge, by understanding, by wisdom. Do you know the difference between these things? It's important to understand this because they all play together. When you think about it, knowledge, let's start with knowledge. So you have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. When you look at knowledge, knowledge is just the facts. It's just information. It's just stuff you know. You have knowledge about things. Maybe you read the encyclopedia. Maybe you know and you memorized it. You know, it's just facts about things. Like if I were to take, so here's a Legos that I borrowed from a kid before church. John, thank you. I was having fun building before church, and then I realized church needs to start. But yeah, so if you take these Legos, the facts, knowledge is, I understand what these are. This is a brick, and it's got, you know, six slots, or it's a long brick, and this is one that's here. These are facts. This one's gray. This one's usually used to build the bottom of a boat. This is kind of what knowledge is. You can amass knowledge about things. It's just the information. It's just the facts. When we get to understanding, understanding is adding to that. So I've got these pieces of Legos, right? Here's a brick, here's a brick. Understanding is how things work together. It's the idea of knowing how they work together. So if I look at this on the bottom, I see that that snaps onto the top of this. And if I assemble those things together, oh, hey, look, I can start to build something out of it. So knowledge is just what these things are. Understanding is how they work together, right? And you start to see that these build on each other. So it's not just enough to have the knowledge. The understanding is how things work together. Now, wisdom is a step further than that. Wisdom is how to apply the facts, how things work together, for a good outcome. It's to produce something. Wisdom is an action thing. It's producing something. It's the action part of it. It's taking this knowledge of what these are. It's taking the understanding of how they go together, and then it's creating a beautiful thing out of it. Not that this is a beautiful thing. I just made this boat before church very quickly. But, you know, some people create these magnificently big structures. And it takes, in the Lego world, wisdom of how, not just how they go together, but crafting something out of them, creating something beautiful out of it, is what the wisdom part is. You apply those things. You produce a result. You apply how things work with people, apply things, what the knowledge and the facts are, and you have a good result. So think about wisdom is how to apply the things for a good outcome, or how to make a beautiful thing in the way of God, how to make something beautiful in the way of God. It'd be the same with painting, right? So knowledge would just be the facts about, you know, here's a brush and here's a canvas and the brush, you put paint on it and things like that. Understanding would be like, hey, I know how to mix this color and that color and what I get out of it. This is how they work together. I know if I do this type of brush stroke, or I know if I leave a lot on or not, or, you know, all the different dynamics of painting. Still doesn't mean you produce a great painting if you have the knowledge and the understanding of how they work together. Wisdom is, when you produce a magnificent piece of artwork out of all of that. So not just the facts, not just how they work together, but producing something beautiful out of it. These are how these three things are intertwined. And when you read in the Proverbs, it talks about those three things all the time. And they're usually used interchangeably in different things or in the same sentence. So wisdom is creating the beautiful things out of it, knowing how to apply it. Now let's notice something about wisdom. Let's turn back to Exodus 28, verse 2. Exodus 28, verse 2. Because a lot of times we just think about wisdom only in the sense of a spiritual thing. And it is. It is a spiritual thing. In fact, wisdom is a spiritual principle. It's of God. It's a spiritual thing. But it applies to physical things. It applies to the physical world. Let's read this in Exodus 28, verse 2. So break in the middle in the thought, because they're assembling the garments, the temple, and putting all of it together. It says, you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So the result of what they're going to put together is something beautiful for God's glory and for beauty. 3, so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. This is very interesting. These were people who were artisans. They were craftsmen. They knew how to build or put together garments, or they know jewelry, or they know to build buildings and things like that. And God says, I have given them a spirit of wisdom so that what? They can produce something beautiful. They can produce an outcome that's beautiful. Turn over to Exodus 31, verse 1, and we'll see more of this. Exodus 31 and verse 1. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and cutting jewels for setting, and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed him with Aholiab, the son of somebody of the tribe of Dan. And I put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle meeting, the ark of testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table, the utensils, the pure gold lampstands with all the utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, and the garments of the ministry, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, the garments of his son, to minister as priest, and all the anointing oil, sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded that you shall do. This is a very interesting scripture to me, because wisdom here applied from God, given his spirit and a spirit of wisdom, was for them to craft with their hands something beautiful in the physical realm. So we see here that wisdom has to do with, when we think about wisdom, it has to do with spiritual things and relationships. But it also has to do with creating something beautiful. And having God's spirit from the designer who created so many things given to man made them create something beautiful. I mean, I don't know what the temple exactly looked like. We have descriptions of it and things, but I bet you one day when we look back, this will be one of the pinnacle things that were created and crafted in the detail, because it reflects God's throne in heaven. But we notice here that wisdom is applied to the physical things here. It was not just a spiritual thing. It was for to create something beautiful. And also turn over to Exodus 35, verse 25. Now they're making linen. Now they're making curtains. Now they're making things around. In verse 25. It's not just limited to men doing the craftsmen. It says, all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarns of goat's hair, etc. You can see here that what we have being created is from the women, God's wisdom, and it's spinning something that is beautiful as well. It's beautiful. Turn over to Exodus 35, verse 30 now. If you go drop down a little bit. It says, Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and he filled him with the spirit of God and wisdom. Wait, I just read all this, didn't I? No? No, I did not. Hang on. I did not. It's the same sentence. All right. He filled them with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. In verse 32, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he had put in his heart the ability to teach in him. And Eliab, the son of that guy of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with the skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. And so we see here, and this is mentioned multiple times, that God gave his spirit and a spirit of wisdom. These people had some natural abilities that were started there, but what God did was he gave them extra. He gave them wisdom. So like I said, and it's not just wisdom, it's those three things, right? Understanding and knowledge. So they had the knowledge of the building blocks. They had the understanding of how they all fit together, how to carve them, how to work with them, how to weave, how to do those things. And then God gave them wisdom to be able to put that together and produce something beautiful. And out came the temple and all the things that were around it. So that came from God, and it's a spirit of wisdom. So we see wisdom is not just a thing that's an idea or it's just somebody, you know, sitting in a corner saying pithy sayings. It actually has application to produce. And this is the one thing that I hope we can remember from this, that is to produce something beautiful in the way of God. And you can think of this on a lot of different dimensions. I'm pointing out that there's a physical dimension there too, and a physical work of the hand. And if you think about that practically, and if that came from God, that's something you can ask God too. In the work you do, in what your hand touches, you can ask God for wisdom with it. You can ask him for special help to do it, to make beautiful things. And that's what he did for the temple in this case. But that's something that, you know, we'll read later. God says, if you want wisdom, just ask. Ask. And that's something that you can ask for. Give me wisdom and skill and understanding in my work. Help me to do well. Help me to get it, to produce things that are beautiful, you know, and to God's glory. And turn back to Proverbs 8:22. What we find is that whenever something beautiful is created, wisdom's right there, always. This is how beautiful things are created. Proverbs 8, verse 22. The subject here is back in verse 1, which I won't read, but it's, you know, does not wisdom cry out, and it goes on along in the different sets of verses. But let's start in 22, because this is talking about the creation of the world. It says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his commandments, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was his daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Wisdom was the companion next to God, as he created what we live on right now. I won't take the time to go through it, but if you study this earth and just how precisely it was made, the planet, the exact distance away from the sun, if it was, you know, a few degrees here, a few degrees there, it'd be too hot or too cold. Just all of the things like what it says here. You know, if you think about the creation of the earth, this has got to be one of the most incredible things that you've ever seen done. It is the most incredible creation. The universe, the stars, the magnitude, the earth, the beauty, the way things grow. I mean, one day I would love to sit and have this conversation with God. Like, how many years, millions, did it take to plan all of this? To think about it. Like, how, you know, you have a tree, and then you design roots that go into the ground. Oh, those need water, and those produce, you know, go up to feed the leaves, and they need sunlight, and these things work together. And how do you come up with all of those things, if you think about it. You know, if you sat down and try to create a little micro world in all the different working parts, this is what God did. All the intricate pieces that feed off each other. Fish live in the sea, and then the, you know, the death of animals and how they go back, and then the, you know, the atmosphere and the air. And then he created bugs, you know, bugs, some we love, some we hate. But he made, you know, this big ecosystem that just goes around and around and around, and that is something that's alive and vibrant and growing, you know, when you take care of it. It's a fascinating thought. I want to sit down one day with God and just, how did you do this? Like, start at the beginning. Like, what did you do? Like, you're creating bugs. What do you do? Did you and the angels, did you go like, hey, you guys, how about you go create 2,000 million pairs of wings? Make them all different. You go create, you know, 400,000 million pairs of lungs. You know, you go figure out how to make a leg, make it jointed forward and one backwards. And if you think about all the creation that's there, the massive creativity that went into it, the amazing way it just works together, the way that things are dependent on each other, the food chain, the water, the air, you know, just think about breathing and molecules and how this all works and, you know, oxygenation that's going into the blood, and then you have blood pumping. If you think about all the intricacies of our bodies and of this earth, it's phenomenally amazing creation. It's a phenomenal thing that God has done. And what he says that was done with from the beginning was wisdom was his right hand. He was his craftsman. He was the thing that was beside him as he set a boundary on the waters. Don't go past this. You can have tides and it goes like this, but don't go past this. And all of the things that he put on this earth and the way that he made it work required a huge amount of wisdom. This is the wisdom of God. This is the thing that you can ask for. This is what you can ask for. You want something to change your life? The boy I was talking about before was Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. That changed his entire life. Obviously, he had issues going through his life, but it changed his life. He didn't ask for money, but it brought riches with him. He ruled by it. He ruled the people very well with it. And what we find that when you see wisdom applied, God's wisdom, it produces something beautiful. It always produces something beautiful. Think of that. Not just knowledge, not just facts, but what do you do with those? And what do you build? Whatever your hand touches to build. Your family? A church? Your job? Your relationships, your work, what does your hand touch? When wisdom is part of it, it produces something beautiful. You want a beautiful family? Ask for wisdom for a family. You want beautiful relationships? Ask for wisdom and do wisdom and follow wisdom in your relationships, and it will produce something beautiful. It goes together. It's a master craftsman of things that are beautiful. That's what wisdom is. And God is the author of that. So it's always building something beautiful. We saw the tabernacle there. We saw the garments that the priest wore. We see that the entire universe and the entire earth and all that's there, it was built with wisdom. And what's at the end of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, basically? Proverbs 31. What's the pinnacle end of that book? Is the pinnacle creation that God made? Woman with wisdom. I mean, you pass ostriches and other stuff along the way, and you get to the woman at the end, and the wisdom that she's given and how she acted in life and what she produced, that is a beautiful picture. So you see it written down, you see the instructions, you can read them all, and at the end of the book is an example of somebody applying wisdom to produce things that are beautiful for her family, for her husband, for her kids. Can you see how that works? Whenever wisdom is applied in there, it always produces something beautiful. Proverbs 31 is an example of it applied. That's what it's saying. She knows how to buy a field. She knows how to create things. Everything in there is something that is producing something beautiful. That's what wisdom is all about. That's what wisdom is all about. So the thing to remember, the thing to get, is that wisdom produces things that are beautiful. Now, wisdom has to also traverse the way of righteousness. It can't be otherwise. Godly wisdom traverses righteousness. Turn to Proverbs 8, verse 6. Proverbs 8, verse 6. And we'll see these things go together. Because it's not just the same thing as having a talent, a skill, or an ability. Wisdom traverses things that are righteous. There's humans that have great talents, skills, and ability. Wisdom is a spiritual thing that produces. So Proverbs 8, verse 6 says, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge." And then down in verse 20, Proverbs 8, 20, it says, "I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice." And then Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." What we find here is that it traverses. The path that it takes is a path of righteousness. It is not mixing a person's skill with wickedness. That does not produce wisdom. That does not produce a beautiful thing. This must go the path of righteousness. That's what it says. And God holds it or gives it out plentifully. He says he gives it to those who walk uprightly. So that's a big key to think about, thinking about wisdom. We ask for it, but it's also something that we order our steps right. We walk uprightly, and then God gives. He gives it. It traverses the path of righteousness. So when we start to think about producing beautiful things in life, just with people, just with wherever you're at, wisdom is a key thing, a fundamental thing, and it has to go the way of righteousness or the path of righteousness. So you don't just stop at understanding and knowledge. You have to go the step and look for wisdom. Now, let's turn over to James 3, because there is a wisdom that we're talking about, which is a godly wisdom, and there's another kind of wisdom. There is wisdom of the world, and these two are contrasted in James 3, verse 13. James 3 and verse 13. And we'll see, what does the wisdom of God always produce, and what does worldly wisdom produce? You can see it here. James 3, verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Can you see the way of wisdom that's God, and what it always produces is something beautiful? Here, peace. It produces peace, and righteousness is what comes out of it. What comes out of worldly wisdom or demonic wisdom? It says here, confusion and every evil thing are there. Confusion and every evil thing. So there is a wisdom that is from God, and there is a wisdom that is from the earth or from the spirit world that is not the same thing and doesn't produce the same thing. You'll notice something here that's interesting about this, that this is not even talking about an outward thing, as in this is something you can even see. This says, hey, if I have bitter envy and self-seeking in my heart, nobody can see that. You can show up and say, hey, you know, you can speak great words of wisdom. And this is the thing that this shows. If you start with and use godly wisdom, it will produce the right result. If you hide and have the wrong wisdom in your heart, not even saying it, and show up and talk the right talk, it can't produce the right thing. You can't have fresh water coming out of, you know, dirty water coming out of a fresh stream. You can't mix the two. This is saying that you don't even have to have it openly, just in your heart. This is a very good one to always read and double check yourself with, because it's easy to, try to get your own way, or envy or jealousy, or, you know, it could be somebody at work and you want their position and all of these type of things. That's leads to envy, that leads to jealousy. It leads to you trying to promote you. And when you have that in your heart, it says it where that exists, there's confusion in every evil thing. You think about that. If you're self-seeking, you're trying to get someplace, you're going to say things to people that you probably shouldn't. You're going to try to maneuver like you probably shouldn't. You're going to end up causing confusion in a group. That's only from things that are on the inside that you don't even say openly or can't see. When you have the wisdom of God, it says it's first pure. It's pure. Look, I'm not self-seeking. It's pure. I am not here with ulterior motives. It's going to be pure. And then it's peaceful. I don't want to stir things up. I want things to be peaceful, gentle. You know what? If I need to yield, I'll yield. Full of mercy, good fruits, good things, without partiality, not playing favorites, without hypocrisy. If you look at that list, this is a great list to go through. You could warrant a sermon on each one of those words. But this is a really good list if you think about it. All of those things are the opposite of the one before. Hypocrisy is in the one above. I have self-seeking in my heart, and it comes out where there's confusion, every evil thing. This is why what we see here is that wisdom produces a good fruit. And what you see is when you see a group, when you see something that starts to split off and divide, it's because of what it says there. There's self-seeking and envy in your hearts. People are trying to jockey, trying to do things, want to get somewhere, want to be something. You have to let all that stuff go. True wisdom doesn't go that way. True wisdom doesn't go that way. Well, maybe I was, you know, looked over. I should have been promoted, or I should have been this. You know what? All of that stuff doesn't matter. When you show the first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing, you produce good fruits. You produce beautiful things. The other produces confusion. This is where men in the church insert their own will onto things and cause so much problems. That has to be put aside. That has to be put aside. You can talk a great talk. You can look great. But if it's in your heart, you're going to cause confusion and division. When you see that, this is what it's saying. When you see the result, something's going on over here inside. You only have to tell me. I can tell you it's in there. This is what this says. This is words of wisdom right here. This is knowledge, understanding of how things work, and it puts it together. Where you see confusion in every evil thing, there's self-seeking and envy going on somewhere, and that's not the wisdom of God. So if you want to produce beautiful things in your life with others, follow this path of godly wisdom. Follow this. This is, as another side note, this James 3 is a great one. If you ever argue, have you ever argued in your life? You guys are perfect. Well, I have. I have argued foolishly many times. And this is one to stick in your head, this, because this is what I find. When I do this, it works well. When I don't, it doesn't work well. But if you ever find yourself in an argument or you're hurt or something, just ask, which response am I doing? Am I first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits? If you just apply those, if you just start reciting that sentence in your brain in the middle of an argument, you'll quickly go like, guess which one of these wisdoms I'm part of right now? There's going to be confusion. There's going to be, you know, every evil thing. Words are going to get said that are going to hurt. Things are going to get nasty. But if you go, wait, how about I just go first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, you will produce something beautiful out of an argument. Confusion can turn into beauty. All of that hard stuff can turn into something beautiful, and you can have a result where your relationship is actually strengthened, even though you had an argument. It's not just avoiding arguments, it's how you navigate them. And this gives you a clue. Memorize verse 17 and just start reciting it the next time you're in an argument. Am I being pure, peaceable, willing to yield? Any of those things. I get through that list, like three words, and I go like, ah, you know, you got me again. You got me. I'm not doing that. And when you do that, you produce something beautiful. Something beautiful. Very, very simple. Just recite that. That one always comes back to me in the middle of the heat of some things. And I can tell you that if I start asking myself, I always say, nope, I'm not doing that. And it just makes you go, okay, got to change this. Got to change this. So let's keep going on. There's benefits to having wisdom. There's great benefits to having wisdom. Let's turn back to Proverbs 8:32. The book of Proverbs is an awesome book to understand wisdom, and it dissects the subject up, down, left, and right. Proverbs 8, verse 32 to 36. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whoever finds me, talking about wisdom, finds life. Is there a benefit? Oh, but wait, it doesn't stop there. And obtains favor from the Lord. Wow, that's amazing. So not only is your life benefited, but God says, I look favorably on you, and you'll obtain favor, grace, mercy, additional things from God. Man, do you not want this? Would you not want this in your life? This can change your entire life in so many ways. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. You're doing yourself in if you don't go the way of wisdom. 8 in verse 11, I'm kind of jumping around. Proverbs 8, verse 11 said, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. So, you can't do the opposite things in your heart and get wisdom out of it. You put James and you put these things, you can't have pride, can't have arrogance, you can't have those things and produce something good. Those have to go. You have to look at you to get and to understand wisdom. 14, counsels mine in sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign. Rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. In verse Proverbs 9:11, just skip over, it says, for by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you're wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. I don't know how you could lay something out in the Bible that has so many upsides and says it's free, and you have to seek it, and it goes like this if you want these things. I think a lot of times we want those things, but we don't go the way of wisdom with them. The way of wisdom to get them. We do everything else but wisdom. God gives you favor, righteousness there, riches are there. People rule by this. You know, it's got so many things that are a benefit in life that will totally change your life just with this one thing if you add to your life, if you add to your life. Let's look at an example. This is a very famous example, 1 Kings 3, verse 16. 1 Kings 3, 16, example of wisdom in action. This is a king, Solomon, ruling and producing something. So 1 Kings 3, verse 16 says, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, O Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day that after I had given birth, that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night, and she took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child at my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one's my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one's your son, the living one's mine. And thus they spoke before the king. Right? And the king said, this one says, this is my son who lives, your son is dead. And the other says, no, but your son's dead, and there's the living one. So the king is sitting here. How do you arbitrate between this? How do you figure this one out? Do you know what it requires to be able to make this call here? Is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. To understand what happens here, he had to understand how mothers work, how a mother and a child would work. And we see, he says in verse 24, then the king said, bring me a sword. This is a really odd request. So they brought him a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Oh, it's a pretty severe statement, but he's doing this on purpose. Why? Because he knows what's going to happen next. He knows the love of a mother for the baby is going to shine through here. That a mother would rather have their baby live than see it something like this happen. So the one woman, verse 26, the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, but don't kill him." But the other said, "Yet let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him." Just exposed them, didn't he? Right? Now you have to know how a mother's love works. You would want to see your child live and give it to the other person just so he could live. Right? And so the king answered and he said, "Give the first woman a living child. And by no means kill him. She is his mother." And all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. That's a fascinating example right there. That's a great example. And you know what? He produced something beautiful with this. You could have had two squabbling people forever, who's who, and let me have the kid 1 week, and you know, you'd have a big mess. But he cut right through all of, cut almost figuratively, sorry, bad choice of words. But he cut right through all of this and got to the heart of the matter. And the child lived, the mothers reunited, and it all worked for this particular kid properly. And you see here, something beautiful out of something ugly can be produced. Something that starts ugly, like an argument, can be turned beautiful. Something that starts ugly, like their argument, can turn beautiful. This is what wisdom can produce. This can change your life so much. Wisdom can change your life. So how do you get it? How do you get wisdom? Proverbs 4, 4. Proverbs 4, verse 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 4 says, "Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away your words in my mouth. Do not forsake her, she will preserve you. Love her, she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom." The first thing is you have to want it. It's what it's saying here. It's a principal thing. Get wisdom. You have to want it. You have to want to seek it. Do you want it? I mean, when you read of what it does and what it's done in people's lives, when you see what the benefits of it are, when you see what it produces, wouldn't you want that? This, to me, is a very easy one to say, yeah, I want this, but I don't know how to get it. Well, first off, you have to want it. This is what it said. Wisdom's the principal thing. Then get wisdom. Secondly, turn over to James 1, 5. James 1, verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." It's a focus. It's single-minded. It's asking. We have to ask. This says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It will be given to him. Ask of God. It's one of the steps here. Ask. I don't know about you, but this is one of the things that I pray for most every day. Because I don't know about you, have you ever run into situations that are feel impossible, that are difficult, a relationship stuck, something's happening, something stirred up, something fell apart. All of those things. If you ask God for wisdom to navigate and wisdom for those scenarios, God provides it. It's not something you just feel all of a sudden, but what you do is you find that, wow, as you go and you work through stuff, you find that, oh, you make a decision on this and God guides your path in your hands. And next thing you know, wow, that all worked. That worked well. Man, I couldn't have done that without asking for wisdom from God. This is something to pray about every single day. I ask for wisdom for my job. Ask for wisdom to do well at it. And you know, what my hand touches there. I ask for wisdom for our congregation. All the speaking, the talking, the interacting. What would it take for us to grow and to be a beautiful congregation? I ask for wisdom for my interactions with people because I don't always do them well. And I ask for wisdom. Can I fix it? Can I get better? Always ask for wisdom. Just ask God. He'll give it liberally. It's of His Spirit. It produces beautiful things, and He says to ask. That is fast. That is a great thing. It is a great thing. And what we found is the story of Solomon. I won't take time to read it. But you remember when he was a kid, God said, "What do you want?" And he asked, "Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" The thing he asked for was wisdom, knowledge to judge and to be able to lead the people. And God said, because it was in your heart and you didn't ask for riches, He's going to give him all that too. Going to give him all that. When he was a boy, he asked. I remember as a boy, when I was young, reading this, and I, you know, read the same thing, and I took the same prayer to God and asked that. And I can tell you, it's not, you know, that God has been there. God has granted at times wisdom to do things and to figure things out that I would never have done. I'm an ordinary person. But you know, asking God for these things is like those craftsmen. God makes it and multiplies and amplifies. And things happened in my life that I can't attribute to me, that God blessed with. And asking for wisdom can bring those things to pass, can unstick things, can make things go well. So ask. We just have to ask. Another thing, let's turn over to Proverbs 17, 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Proverbs 17:27 says, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." This, and turn to Proverbs 9, verse 7. Let me put these two scriptures together. So you'll notice it said spares his words, okay, and keeps his mouth shut, basically is what it said, when he shuts his lips. Proverbs 9, verse 7 says, "He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, understanding." You know, wisdom, to get wisdom, you have to listen more than talk. We've got this backwards. Wisdom is not the guy in the corner, the one who's always teaching everybody all the time. Wisdom doesn't come like that. That's not the person who has wisdom. Wisdom listens. Wisdom keeps the mouth closed. It says here, the wise man's being taught here, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, he'll increase. He's being taught there. He's listening. It's not all about talking. It's not all those who are talking all the time are the wise ones. You get wisdom by listening, not by talking. I see this many times at work. I've seen it in different groups. You know, there's always somebody who comes in and just has to talk, and do it, and they're, you know, doing all the stuff. And now I see people who come in that are even the execs, and they ask, "Hey, so what happened here? Oh, okay, why?" And next thing you know, they go around the whole room, and they've soaked in everything, and they go, "You know what? This is what we should do." You know why? Because they weren't coming in pontificating. They came in, and they listened. And they left the room wiser, and they made a decision. That's how wisdom comes. It's not the guy talking, girl talking. It's not the one walking around the room with giving proverbs. It's the one listening and being taught. That's how wisdom comes. So you want to gain wisdom. That's what it says. Listen, be taught. Listen. Listening is what it is. You know, the opposite of wisdom is found in Proverbs as well. Now just turn over to Proverbs 9:13. I think we're still in Proverbs. Proverbs 9:13. The opposite's contrasted here. A foolish woman is the opposite of wise wisdom. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call those who pass by, who will go straight on their way. Whoever's simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Stolen water sweet, bread eaten in secrets pleasant." But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. The opposite is described as a foolish woman. Now, where she's sitting, She's sitting all around you. The door of her house, the seat in the highest places of the city. Anybody's walking by, like, hey, come on in, come on in. You don't need that wisdom stuff. And you'll notice something that's about the foolish woman. She's clamorous. She's loud, obnoxious. And she's calling to everybody to turn in there. And you know what? The road to foolishness is huge. The road paved by those with wisdom is very narrow. Because the foolish woman is all around you and will always call and always try to pull you in. And it has, again, it's unrighteousness, stolen bread, things done in secret, all this stuff, ooh, itching ears, oh, sounds really cool. It's dangerous. You know, and the simple turn in there, and it says they end up dying. They end up dying. So what we find is, again, wisdom comes with listening. Listen more. Grow by listening, by learning, by reading, by asking other people. You know, you have a problem with a relationship? Ask them, hey, sorry, I don't know how, like, what's important to you. What is it that are the things I keep triggering you off? What are the things that are that? Why not just ask and listen? And they go, you know what? It's just this one thing. You always do this. Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't, not a trigger for me, but I get that for you. You learn. How hard is that? You know, if you did that in your relationships, how hard would it be to have that conversation? How hard would it be then to just be fierce, first pure, peaceful, willing to yield and go, okay, I won't do that anymore. It's not hard. This is the ways of wisdom, and you will produce something beautiful. You'll have a relationship back. You'll have something that's unblocked. That's a beautiful thing. It's ours for the taking. It's right there. Let's, we just have one. Proverbs 9, verse 1. Proverbs 9, verse 1. You'll notice that this sounds like the same thing as a clamorous woman, but it's different. Proverbs 9 says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Okay, look, they're both saying it. Same thing, aren't they? And for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. You notice what she says. What are the two things? Bread and wine or drink? The clamorous woman had what? She said the same thing. Obnoxiously loud. Come in here and I have stolen bread. And I have water. You know, eat in secret. The wise woman has built and worked and earned. And she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. I have produced these things. They're not stolen. They're both crying into the city to the same person as they walk by. One is the way of righteousness. One is the way of work. One is the way. It's there for the taking. And the woman of wisdom is straight up, not stolen, and she's worked, and she's willing to share that. The other one, it's stolen. She's clamorous. She's loud. She's obnoxious. And you see this attitude manifest itself, the obnoxious side of it, you know, where people, I don't know if you've ever seen people today, they're just like, you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do, and they're all just, you know, loud, and then you look at their lives, and they're a train wreck. Nobody's going to tell me, I'm just, you know, I don't have to work, and the man's holding me down, they're into drugs, and they're loud and obnoxious, and they're set in their ways, and they will make sure that you know it if you ever cross their paths. Wisdom will cry out and say, look, this is methodically been done, and I built it, I've hewn, and I have meat, and I have fine wine that I've made, and I will share this with you. There's a totally different attitude between these two. And those who are the obnoxious side always go down in their lives. Those with the side of wisdom produce beautiful things in their lives. Always produce beautiful things. So how do we get it? You have to want it. Do you want it? I mean, just looking at that, do you want it? I can't see how this would not be one of those things you just want to grab. Then ask for it. And seek it. And listen. Listen, not talk, but listen. Another thing to do is to read the Proverbs. Read the Proverbs constantly. If you feel like you lack wisdom, just go through the Proverbs over and over on repeat. If you read other parts of the Bible, add one chapter of Proverbs in there with it. Your life will change when you start, because these proverbs will come back to you in circumstances. They'll come back to you in different times and different things. Like there's a proverb that says, do not answer a fool according to his folly. Then right after that it says, answer a fool according to his folly. Bible critics go, see, Bible contradicts itself, right? And they're like, see, that they not even saying the same thing. If you study that and think about that, that's teaching you to act with wisdom to those who are foolish. It says, sometimes answer them and sometimes don't, right? The foolish person is going to be like it. Sometimes answer them, sometimes don't. If you read this over and over, and one day you get to a situation, and you go like, nope, this is not the time. Then you get into one, and you go, this is the time. Right? That's wisdom. You get that from reading it over and over. You get that from putting it in there. So let's finish with Proverbs 24:3. Proverbs 24:3. Proverbs 24, verse 3, talks about building. It says, through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it's established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled. Building with wisdom, a house is built. What does your house look like? What does your family look like? Let's build our houses with wisdom. Let's build our families with wisdom. Let's build our church with wisdom. Let's build our relationships with wisdom. Let's build with wisdom. Let's seek it. Let's ask for it. And let's build. And when we build with it, it will always, always, always produce something beautiful.